Hey, listen here, princess. You're gonna watch. You're gonna watch this out the window.
The big window.
Yeah.
And you see all those people and all around. They're gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's gonna happen.
And you're gonna watch out the window. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. Why is it exciting, you might ask? Well, just sit down in your seat, listen up, good kids, because it's Halloween as we're recording this, and we decided not to watch a spooky movie this week. We decided to go beyond plus ultra this week. We decided to watch a movie that has inspired countless Halloween costumes and is very topical as of this week and last week and this coming months.
And life.
And life in general. But I'm your host, Ben, with me as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Mars Guo. Deep cut.
I went to my Star Wars knowledge and I
don't know. You don't know who Mars Guo is?
Who's Mars Guo?
He's a pod racer.
That's why I don't know him. Did he die in episode one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's worth.
Actually, you know him.
Very I know particular. Ben Quadranero.
Now he's.
Oh, is he the little guy?
No. Mars Guo, when they're racing on the Boonta Eve, he gets crashed into and he's like gonna blow up. He's like, "Arr!"
Ah,
you remember him?
That one. I know Ben Quadranero.
How about Gas Gano?
Who's the little tiny one that we, on Star Wars
Neva
Pod Racer,
T.
For the, yeah, for the N64, we boosted his pod to fast proportions.
The fastest.
The fastest of
He
furious.
Was in the Boonta Eve race.
He was.
He didn't crash, but he was never seen again. They speculate that the bounty hunters found him, and he owed money somewhere.
Well, he was in the pod racer game. That's all that matters.
Yes.
Why hasn't there been a pod racer? Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. Yeah. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Jedi Master Gus over there.
That's going to be like Gonk Droid.
I should have said, you're on the council, but we don't give you the rank of master.
What? Insulting.
This is outrageous. Yes, indeed. If you're new to the podcast here, what we do is every week we watch a film. We then take to the pod to discuss said movie, talk about what's good, talk about what's bad, what we would change, what we wouldn't. We then take to the factory to imagine what this film would look like if it came out today. Who would star, who would direct and compose the music in it and that. Then we ask a couple questions here and there, and so for the past couple episodes, we've been doing October Spooky Month, right? Mm-hmm. We've watched Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. We watched The Thing. We've watched Van Helsing. And to close out Spooky Month, we're here watching Episode 4, Star Wars A New Hope, mostly due to the fact that, A, Mandalorian's coming out in 2 weeks. Newest trailer dropped for that. Rise of Skywalker is coming out in December, but the newest and final trailer to that just dropped. And like I said, it's inspired countless Halloween costumes, so it's not a Halloween movie by any sake.
Listen, by the time this gets released, which would be Friday, November 1st, Spooky Month is gone.
Exactly.
And with Star Wars on the horizon, why not go to a galaxy far, far away?
Indeed. And, it's our show, so whatever. yes, this week we decided to watch the OG Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, originally called just Star Wars, because that's what it is. And wouldn't you know it, this is my favorite Star Wars film out of the entirety of all films. I even like it better than Battle for Endor. or Caravan of Courage.
Do you like it more than the Christmas special?
I've never seen the Christmas special. Does that make me not a true fan?
Well, if you see the Christmas special, you'll end up like those Nazis at the end of Raiders.
Jesus. You'll end up like Chewbacca's son. I haven't watched the Christmas special mainly because I like good Star Wars. That's why I've
that's why you like
that's why I like the prequels. But yeah, no, this is by far my favorite Star Wars film. I think I have ultimately watched it more than any other Star Wars film, ultimately. And I do enjoy the prequels. We did Phantom Menace last year, kind of close to this time. And
November.
Yeah, and I said then that it was my favorite. This is my favorite, but I like the prequels. I like all Star Wars. That's kind of my go-to, is that, you know, you'd be hard-pressed. I even like Solo. Now, do I like all things about them? No, I agree a lot of stuff is wrong with the prequels. I agree that a lot of things are wrong with Solo and different movies like that. But to each their own, I enjoy them all. And, you know, usually you talk to people, they say Empire. Empire is better. I've never walked into anyone that's like, I'm like, I like New Hope. That's my favorite. And they usually are like, oh, my, Empire. Empire's so much better. But why? Because, I mean, I understand. I understand ultimately why people enjoy Empire better, but something about A New Hope, the fact that it spawned this fantastical world that, you know, has encapsulated so many people and so many adventures, and really brought everyone into this thing that everyone loves now. You know, I remember wife now. No longer old fiance, just wife.
Oh, wifey poo.
She, when Force Awakens was coming out, she was like, I don't understand it. Like, why does Star Wars need to be on bottles of water? I'm like, because Star Wars is bottles of water. The Force surrounds us, penetrates us, binds us together. So, New Hope is just the fact that it's the first one. I love, like, the seeing all the characters for the first time. And it's just my starting point. It was. Now, for whatever reason, anytime I go to watch all these films, I start with Phantom. I go Phantom, Attack of the Clones. I watch them in order, and I don't know why. Even to the point where, like, before tonight, I wanted to watch Rogue One and Solo. I didn't do it, but I wanted to, just because those connect them. Mm. But yeah, no, I usually try to watch them episodically.
I would always try to watch them in the order they came out in. Not that that's the way it's...
Machete cut?
No. I would just watch 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, Solo, or, you know, whatever. Or there's too many. Force Awakens, Last Jedi.
And Rogue One.
And soon I'll finish with Rise of Skywalker.
It'll be undoing.
I know Star Wars is real big in both our lives, but I know Star Wars is like a second vocabulary for you.
Somewhat.
I pointed out random droids in this movie, New Hope, and I was like, what's the name of that droid? And you're like, that's the Gonk droid.
Gonk droid. Gonk.
I was like, what is the point of that, whatever I called it, rat bot? And you're like,
it's vacuum cleaner.
It's a cleaner. Cleaner droid.
I don't know. That's what the books say. Some of the books, I mean, I've read more Star Wars books than anything, and I forget who said it specifically. It might have been Mark Hamill himself, but I think it was. I forget. Someone has been quoted saying that Star Wars fans, like, determine their fandom based on the amount of knowledge they have on Star Wars.
That was Mark Hamill.
And, I mean, that is to an extent true. I don't know why, but, like, I have friends that play Star Wars, and, like, I have a friend that's only seen The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and that's it. He knows everything that's going on. He's played Battlefront 2. He's played Battlefront. But, like, for whatever reason, like, we'll be playing Battlefront 2. And you can play as... You could get points and unlock... Chewbacca is a playable character. You have to unlock him with points. But then there's another character called a Wookiee Warrior. And it's just a Wookiee. But every time he gets him, he'll be like, oh, I'm fucking him up with Chewie. I'm like, that's not Chewie. It's a Wookiee Warrior. You idiot.
You stupid idiot.
Yeah, and it bothers me. So that is, like, I see that sometimes. Like, I'm be like, you're not a fan. I'm a fan. I know more than you, so I'm a fan. So there are times, and it's just, I don't know. I'm not one to put that out there. It's just something that I enjoy. So I have, you know, dove into the literature of it and dove into, you know, doing research and figuring out, you know, what exactly is going on. I follow YouTube channels that dive in, like Star Wars Theory and Star Wars HQ and channels like that, that really dive a little deeper into the Star Wars content and the Star Wars world. I'm all about anything Star Wars, and this movie just makes me happy every time I watch it. There are things I'm like, like the CGI ads, well, I'm like, yeah. Ugh, they need to just take those out. But there are parts I'm like, ah, it's great. That's a great additional add there and different things like that. I just, yeah, how this movie, and I
for,
just...
For those who don't know what we're talking about, we watched... What edition did we watch?
The new... Well, not the newest, but I guess it is the new... It's the Blu-ray release.
Yeah, they just re-released them again on Blu-ray, but I guess it's the cut you're going to get.
I think it's the same, yeah. It's. I think it went the original, the 1998 re-release.
Seven, please.
1997 re-release. Then there was the, like, Blu-ray release that changed everything again. I don't think it added much in way of, like... I don't think it added much in way of effects. I think all the CGI was done in the 97 and maybe the DVD releases.
Yeah. No, they changed a lot in the when the Blu-rays came out.
Oh, did they?
That when the complete saga came out, because that's when people were bitching that...
No!
Yeah, that.
No!
That was with the Blu-ray and Ewoks blinking, damn it.
Yeah, that's pointless, though. Like, I watched a video the other day. It was like... 10 pointless changes, and they were like bitching about that. I'm like, what?
Wow.
You're like, that's, I'm like, you're saying that it doesn't matter, so why put it in? So I'm saying, why does it even matter if it doesn't matter? Why are you bitching? That's what they were saying. They're like, it doesn't matter, so why'd they even do it? And it's like, well, if it doesn't matter and they did it, then who cares?
That's you've rated a good point.
Yeah,
and that's a change I like, is like having them blink, or
Darth Vader not having any eyebrows.
Didn't they change the Ewok celebration song?
Yeah, they changed it to...
not that one. No, they got rid of the Num Dum song.
Gold guy?
No, like in the celebration, it used to go like, hey, Num Num.
Nub Nub. Tay nine Num Nub.
That's the one.
Yeah, I think it's...
If only...
Were I they, think it they, is.
What? No, that's at the end of.
I know. I think they added that to the end.
No, they didn't.
It's been a while since I've seen Return.
It's pretty peaceful music.
We'll see. But they also added other shots of people celebrating around the galaxy in that shot as well.
Yes, they did.
They showed Naboo, and yeah, they showed a lot of different things.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's nice to see, like, not just on the forest moon of Endor. It's like the rest of the galaxy is rejoicing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, New Hope. This film. Starting with, I mean, just the first time you see that iconic Star Wars crawl, the music hits, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, that is synonymous with Star Wars, to the point where, like, when we went to see Force Awakens, and that Lucasfilm pops up, and it does that, like the little high pitch ring, and then it hits, like, I look over at you, I look over at my friend, and just bawling.
Yeah.
Mainly because you're bitches. But.
To the point where when it's silent and says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, people will start cheering.
Yeah, because it's just, yeah, it's just it's something that a lot of people share, I think, is a big part of it. You know, it's like that Star Wars is something that many people share. And that's why it's somewhat a toxic fan base, because everyone has ownership of it, basically.
That's my Star Wars.
This is the house we built. But I honestly think on one hand, I see some of the toxicity disappearing over time. And on the other hand, I see the toxicity getting worse with social media and internet and stuff. Like on the one hand, like I see the hate for the prequels disappearing completely, like not completely, but more and more people that grew up with the prequels don't dislike them near as much as, like, the OG, original trilogy people that grew up with those. Or the people that grew up in the 80s and the 90s and, you know, early 90s. Just before, you know, they were in their 20s maybe when the prequel trilogy was being released.
The popular thing now is to hate on the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. So, it's all going to change, you know. That's why I always say, like, I just like it all. There are things I hate about The Last Jedi. Do I think it's terrible and shouldn't be considered canon? Why? It's pretty good. It has a lot of good things in it.
The Last Jedi has some of my most favorite things in Star Wars.
Yeah, the Luke and Yoda part, and yeah, just so many...
Rey and Kylo fighting side by side.
Yeah, awesome events and awesome moments. That's why. Does it have terrible side plot with Poe or Finn and Rose, and that's completely worthless? Is
Benicio
Rose,
del Toro?
Is Benicio del Toro and Rose pretty much completely pointless characters? Yes.
Could you even tell me Benicio del Toro's character's name?
DJ.
Fuck. Fuck, that's
Did
good.
Did you know?
No.
Yeah, it's DJ.
I was going to call him the Keymaster. Yeah, I couldn't remember his name.
It's DJ. It means don't join.
Yeesh.
Literally. Yeah, it's like his whole thing. He's a philosophical character, if anything. He's basically saying, you know, how he says they sell ships to the bad guys, but they also sell ships to the good guys. DJ was for... It was, I don't know if it was an allegory or something he chose, but it was don't join, basically, was why he was DJ. But we're not talking about The Last Jedi.
Star Wars.
We're talking about the original, yeah, New Hope. But yeah, the first time you see that opening crawl, right into that first, you know, the Alderaan ship just cruising around along, getting chased by the Star Destroyer, and you're like, fuck, that's awesome. Like, that's... It gets you right away, and the practical effects just still work to this day. Even, like... You look at it and you're like, that planet is a painting. Like, that's...
No, that's real.
Yeah, that's a real planet.
A shot on location.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Wrong movie.
Fuck. But Patrick Stewart for Obi-Wan.
Yeesh.
But it just... That opening spot, you even said, you're like, if you're not already hooked and you haven't seen Star Wars before, then what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Now, I see the argument. There are people that are like, those just aren't my bag. That's not my type of movie. But it's like people who've never had a Krabby Patty.
It's like that Queen song.
Don't Stop Me Now?
No, Bicycle.
Ah.
Jaws was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars. Well, every time he said that, I'm like, ugh, I don't like that.
All right, Freddie Mercury. But all he wanted to do was bicycle.
That's his thing.
Yeah, he likes to bicycle. It's like someone who doesn't like video games or someone who doesn't like movies or music or whatever. It goes in tandem with Star Wars here. But, I mean, I just think the setup, the introduction of everything works. They literally drop you into a war movie with no history to rely on. You know, they can drop you in to the middle of World War II and you understand, like, Hitler's the bad guy and this is kind of what's going on because it's historical drama. This is a whole new world being developed by George Lucas and company. Mm-hmm. So to drop you in with just a crawl and be like, this is what's going on, have fun, like, and it just, everything works. The setup to Leia being in trouble, Darth Vader, C-3PO, R2-D2 going to Tatooine with these plans, Luke to Obi-Wan to, you know, Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, what happens to them, to Han Solo being introduced with Chewbacca, to Jabba the Hutt's backstory, like tons of different things just flow together to this finale that's so awesome. I think George Lucas always gets panned for his recent work in directing. But, you know, you watch this movie, you watch American Graffiti, you watch Howard the fucking Duck, he did a great job. You watch American Graffiti, you watch this, you're like, he's a good director. He gets a lot of good shots. He does a lot of good, he had a lot of great ideas behind this film and the setup of everything and how it flows.
It's hard to believe that with how much of a, just a way of life Star Wars is for a lot of people and how important it is to history, that back in 1976 or 5, whenever they were getting ready to make this movie, no one wanted to make it.
Yeah.
They thought it sounded silly.
Stupid!
They thought it sounded silly. They didn't want to put the money towards it. And the only one who was, like, in full belief of this project was old Georgie baby. Old Georgie! And, yeah, he's a boy with a dream.
I mean, that's okay, I guess.
It was even, like, while they were filming it, the actors are like, this is ridiculous. Because imagine being Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And shooting a blaster, but no sound, no light. He's just like...
I feel like he does that in the mirror every day.
He winks at himself in the mirror every day.
You know, I saw... recent, it was a, I think it was Jimmy Fallon had Mark Hamill on recently, and Mark Hamill was saying how, you know, he was a young actor, he hadn't really done much, and there was a trash compactor scene, and it was afterward, you can notice it, I watched for it tonight because I just watched the interview, he's like fixing his hair, and because his hair, he had just been dunked, right, and underneath the water, and his hair is pretty much dry in that part. And he apparently had asked George, he's like, you know, my hair, I just got dunked. I'm all dirty. Shouldn't I be matted or this and that? And Harrison Ford walked up and was like, kid, it's not that type of movie. Yeah. Like, he just didn't think it was, like, that meticulous. So that's why he's, like, doing that with his hands, because he's, like, trying to, like, make it not look like... Oop. Sorry, I hit the mic. He's trying to make it look not look like he's, like, not disheveled. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he said... And even Harrison Ford. I watched another interview where Harrison Ford watches that. Like, watches Mark Hamill do an impression of Harrison Ford. He's like, he's me. He's me.
He's like, that doesn't sound like me at all.
Yeah. I'm going to kill that motherfucker. but, yeah, this is before Harrison Ford was bored. Now he would just shoe this in.
Yeah. You know who... So Mark Hamill went on to be Luke Skywalker, obviously.
Robert Englund. I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
This is his roommate, right?
It was his roommate who auditioned for that role, and he's like, hey, roommate, you should go audition for this too. Robert Englund went on to...
I was going to go down to Toshi and pick up some power converters.
Robert Englund went on to be Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street
icon.
Franchise, yeah.
Horror icon, sci-fi icon.
Whoa.
Two roommates rocking the world.
I want to know what room they stayed in.
Yeah, that's talent. That's like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck talent. All right, never mind. That's like, yeah, that's like Mark Hamill, hey. Robert Englund talent.
Hey, Mark Hamill and Robert Englund don't have an Oscar. Them boys do.
Mark Hamill will get a lifetime
Mark
achievement.
Mark Hamill, your son.
Mark Hamill will get a lifetime achievement Oscar. Someday, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
Robert Englund, maybe not.
Maybe not.
He'll get some... He's gotten plenty of horror awards, I'm sure.
Yeah, bitch.
Look at me, bitch.
That's not...
Yes?
At all.
But, oh, Star Wars. Yeah, no, it's funny, too, that, like, all of them, the cast, the main cast, rather, was pretty much all unknowns. You know, Carrie Fisher, not very well known at the time. Mark Hamill, not very well known. Harrison Ford, been in a couple things, but still not very well known. I believe he's
not like
on
a leading man. Or
he's, yeah, I saw him. What movie?
It was American Graffiti.
He's in American Graffiti, but he's a small part in that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the arrogant, cocky person in that as well, though. And then he's in The Conversation, which is a Francis Ford Coppola movie, I think.
Okay, that's pre-Star Wars.
I believe so. He's not a very big role in that film either. It's Gene Hackman. The Conversation. Yeah, it's Gene Hackman, and 1974, so yeah, it would have been 3 years prior. And he's a small-ish part in it. There's like a, in that film, there's like a higher-up individual, and he's like the guy, their number two. Harrison Ford is, so he's not
you
like a big...
are my number two, yeah. A guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays Martin Stett.
You ever watch any of the like bonus features for Star Wars and like the making of?
I want to. I did when we were younger.
Yeah.
When we didn't have like Netflix and YouTube to watch.
Yeah, just popping that bonus feature on the DVD.
Because it was like, it's like 20 additional hours of content, like documented, especially on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's like they show like a lot of concept art. And it's just really cool, like, to see the concept art and then to see it come to life in this movie, because it's a lot of fantastical creatures and, you know, aliens and space battles and ships. And, you know, something I really appreciated about this movie that might have been done before, however not as successful, obviously, was how, like, not pristine everything was. Like,
yep.
You see R2-D2 and C-3PO, they're covered in grime and dirt. And everything's like, yeah, like when you think
it's
of
supposed to be war torn.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that. Just a quick like fact/factoid. You know, I always get bothered when people are like I'm just hitting on another sci-fi movie. I'll hit on Avatar. They get pissed when they're like, Avatar is just a remake of Dances with Wolves or Fern Gully in Space.
Pocahontas, please.
Yeah. I'm like, well, Star Wars is just a retelling of a 1950s samurai film.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
It is. It's just a samurai film told in space. Did you know this?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm aware.
You just decide to cast it out.
I decide to not buy in I decide to see past the lies of the Jedi. Whoa. That's not a story. You're like, did you know this? I'm like, no, I didn't. You're like, this is not the story that the Jedi would teach you. how can I learn of this movie? Not from a Jedi.
I'm going to try to find out what it's called. I should have had this
on
deck.
It's not needed. We don't need it.
It's The Hidden Fortress by Akira Kurosawa.
Did he do the Godzilla music?
No.
That's another Akira?
Yeah, that's Akira Ifubi. Mazel tov. Akira Kurosawa did like Seven Samurai.
Ah.
And a bunch of other like Oscar films.
Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
Yuck.
This movie's better anyways. Like you said, seeing the concept arts of this film's, it's things you've never seen before. And something that I've come to enjoy is, you know, you watch, I remember a big argument people have with the prequels. They're like, why does everything look newer, like, in the prequels? But if you actually watch it, you can see, like, how things evolve to what they are now. Like, even the X-Wings, like, in Revenge of the Sith, you see them, they're kind of like X-Wings, but they have an additional, like, thick wing in the middle.
Thick wing.
Or the AATs, which are, like, the four-legged tanks.
The AT-ATs?
No, the AATs in the Clone Wars. They're like the four-legged tanks. They're called AATs, like AT-AT and the AT, AT-ST.
What are those? What does that stand for?
I think AT-ST. I know it's all terrain. It's like all terrain, all something, and then the other one's all terrain solo something. I forget. I know it's all terrain.
Transportation.
All terrain something transportation maybe. I forget. I knew it has something to do with all terrain. Because I think AAT is armored all terrain. Regardless, you know, you see some of those changes. Even like in Revenge of the Sith, you see the headset Anakin and Obi-Wan are wearing, and it's very similar to the headset that Luke and Han put on when they're gunning when the Flight of the Falcon's playing in this movie. It's very, like, it's dual prong on the top. It's got, like, a little Xbox 360 headpiece going on.
Old school.
Yeah, it's pretty old school. But you do see some of the technological changes. Plus, I mean, you play a game like Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic, it's supposed to take place, like, thousands of years before the first movie. And technology's not that much different. Like, they just, you know, you know, apparently galaxy just moves kind of slow. Because I always took it that Star Wars was trying to be new but old at the same time. Like, futuristic, but not, like, but also,
affordable.
Yeah, affordable, please. Like, futuristic, but also realistic, I guess, in a sense. This shit would be expensive. But, I don't know, that's how I always took it. It's not, like, futuristic in the sense of Star Trek. Where, like, everything is pristine and like, very perfect. I mean, the fucking Enterprise is, like, the size of the Death Star. And don't kill me, Trek nerds. I'm not very big of a Trekkie.
Is it really?
It's huge. Yeah. Oh. The Enterprise is a huge ship. I'm pretty sure the Enterprise is bigger than a Star Destroyer.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No. Pretty sure.
That's not true.
Enterprise size compared.
That's impossible. I have a question for you, though. You say this is your favorite Star Wars movie. Always has been, always will be. Who's your favorite character? And I let me rephrase that. Who was your favorite character when you were wee? Not today, but like when you were like 10. Who was your favorite character in A New Hope?
It's always been Obi-Wan.
Even old Ben Kenobi?
Old Ben Kenobi. It's always been old Ben.
Obi-Wan.
Because, wow. What do you know? That's Star Destroyer compared to the Enterprise and Into Darkness.
Well, that's the other Enterprise. Still pretty goddamn big.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah, it's always been Obi-Wan because when I was wee, he's Ben Kenobi. I'm Ben, so it was like always.
He's me.
Yeah, he's me. I'm Shmi's me. I was just always like, oh, Jedi has the name Ben. That's awesome. Even to the point where, like, when the prequels came out and I was very young, I was, you know, four or five-ish, maybe, depending on when it – I don't exactly know the date.
Four, when
Phantom Menace came out. I remember thinking, like, Obi-Wan is Ben. Like, his name is Ben. Obi-Wan is the name they gave him. His real name is Ben. Like, I remember thinking that. I'm like, did you know Obi-Wan's name Ben? His real name is Ben. So Obi-Wan's always been my favorite. Even to this day, Obi-Wan still is my favorite Star Wars character. Because I think he's just a badass. I think he's, like, one of, if not the most powerful Jedi ever. Period.
Not Luke?
No.
In their prime?
Obi-Wan in his prime would have left him burning in Mustafar like his dad.
Then
he would have found Luke's son and said, "Your father wanted you to have this."
I think in canon, though, isn't Luke, like, the most powerful Jedi of all time?
Technically, he's also the only Jedi left. And Mark Hamill, I just watched, it was the Wired autocomplete interview.
There's another.
Autocomplete interview. And it was like, is Luke Skywalker the most powerful Jedi ever? And he's just like, I would say so. I mean, he's the only one there is.
Fair enough.
So it's, I mean, yeah, he's the last one. You haven't really seen it. You can force project. That's pretty badass, right? I would say that he is theoretically, but you never see him in action, right? He picked it up pretty quick. But even a lot of people say, like, Luke was the chosen one. It was like dwelling within Anakin, basically. That, like, and Luke was the chosen one. But George Lucas even said in interviews that from the prequels into that, Anakin never stopped being the chosen one. He was the chosen one. And eventually he does bring balance to the Force in a sense. But I don't even understand that prophecy. It's, they're going to have someone come and bring balance to the Force. But to their knowledge in Phantom Menace, there is no Sith. They say, he's like, I feel it was a Sith Lord. And Mace Windu says, if the Sith came back, we would have sensed it. He says it. Like, they didn't know that there was a Sith. So wasn't the Force already in balance? Maybe they felt a flux or something. But I always wondered that. I'm like, why did they need this balance if there wasn't anything going on?
I mean, it is unbalanced because there's too much light.
Too much light. Light rises and dark rises.
They need to merge and become one.
That's another thing. Like, where are the Roman Catholics and the Jewish and the Lutherans and the Mennonite and, like, where are all these other religions that use the Force?
And the dudists.
Yeah, the dudists. Like, where are they all at? I've always wondered that. Like, you think about just our world.
Hey, we're in a galaxy far, far away.
True.
Those
true.
Don't exist.
True, I guess. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, where are the gray Jedi that are allowed to get married but follow all the other things, you know? Like, where are all those? I always wondered about that. I think the closest we've gotten to gray Jedis to this point is, like, Ahsoka. And
who's Ahsoka?
From Clone Wars. Anakin's Padawan. Ahsoka, and probably Luke in The Last Jedi, even though I'd say he's still a good guy.
Hey, he knows one thing.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
But he will not be the last Jedi.
Ugh. I still haven't cried from those movies.
Wrong.
I know. I can't tell you the last time I actually cried during a movie.
I can.
When?
Me?
No, me.
Oh, you? I don't know.
You were probably like last night.
No, tonight.
Oh, well, there you go.
We were watching Star Wars, A New Hope.
When it hit?
No, at the end, the ceremony. Mm. It gets me.
I get chills at that
I
part.
Swore this is a little off topic, but I swear I have a vivid memory, vivid, which means I remember it, seeing it, I seen it. We saw Theory of Everything, and at the very end credits, I looked to you and you're streaming.
I don't moist. Stream. I know. At moist. The end of Theory of Everything, I did what I always do, which is I well up.
It was there. I seen it.
I keep it in. Yeah, because I've welled up lots of movies. Force Awakens, End of Force Awakens, Last Jedi with Luke dying. If that's a spoiler, go fuck yourself. but Luke dying at the binary sunset, that gets me. I mean, the binary sunset scene in and of itself gets me almost every time I watch it. A lot of, you know, what I've noticed with me, and it's kind of weird, is a lot of my, like, emotional thoughts, like, as I'm, like, like, just walking the dog or walking around thinking, like, if I think of something, like, I think of, like, Luke, I am your father, like, I'll get chills and I'll get choked up just thinking about it more than I will when I watch it. But even, like, the binary sunset scene has affected me to the point where, like, my keyboard, if you look very closely,
I see it.
Is the binary sunset. Like, I forget how I did that, but I downloaded a Google app and I made my keyboard behind my keys is the binary sunset from Star Wars. And it's been that for years. So, yeah, no, this, like, that piece of music, the binary sunset, is my favorite track of Star Wars music ever. John Williams, this being, you know, think about that. I remember seeing that on a documentary, like, George Lucas said that one of the reasons this movie succeeded so well was having this great music to go along with it. Like, you gotta imagine what this would have been like if instead of having this, like, big booming orchestra, they had, like, your classic sci-fi, like, sci-fi sounds and your sci-fi tracks and things like that. Like, this isn't your normal sci-fi movie, which is kind of what I think George Lucas was going for. But also, like, you think about it, there isn't, like, think about, like, what you know of cheesy old sci-fi, and then, like, attach it to this movie. This is, like, a turning point, kind of. Like, I always think of, like, the laser sound, like, it's like the lasers in this sound legit. Like, everything sounds realistic, even down to, like, the ships taking off. It sounds like, you know, an airplane lifting off or something of that nature. So everything, like I said, sounds super, like, futuristic and fantastical, but also realistic in a sense.
One of my favorite sounds ever is the TIE fighter.
Not the pod racer when it goes.
The boost of the pod racer.
Yes. That.
She didn't like that pod racer.
No, she didn't like the pod racer sound at all.
Got the dog
but,
here.
Indeed, I'd say the lightsaber igniting sound gotta be the best though. Just
what about it waving a little bit?
What about just help us? From Rogue One.
Die God. Yes.
We gotta talk about that real quick. Some of the gripes that people have with the prequels that lead into this film is, like, Obi-Wan's age. 17 years passed from Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope. Obi-Wan's, like, you want to look up what his actual, we were speculating, I think he's 58 is what he's supposed to be.
He's who?
Obi-Wan's age.
What did you say?
I think he's 58.
I think we did this math before. I think on the podcast.
Yeah, probably last year.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan's age. Episode 4. He is approximately 59 years. He had been living on Tatooine for 21 years, apparently. Living in Tatooine for 21 years. I thought it was 17 years after.
Yeah, it is, because Luke and Leia are supposed to be 17.
Oh,
liars.
See, I see 57 before the bat. He's somewhere in his late 50s. Yeah. But he looks like a 70-year-old man.
That Tatooine binary.
Yeah,
son.
And that's what they say. He got a lot of stress. Totally. Got, you know, he's living in exile.
Killed his best friend.
And just killed his brother. Please.
Please.
He's watching over this boy. And he's, like, basically living constant fear. So the stress has turned to mold. Even, like, Joel Edgerton plays Uncle Owen in The Revenge of the Sith. And he ages pretty poorly,
yeah,
too.
That Tatooine son.
He's looking like Lars Owen by the end with legs.
He's Lars Owen.
His dad. Name's Lars. Smee's my wife.
That's right.
He doesn't have legs.
I lost my leg to diabetes.
Yeah, lost my leg to the sand people.
Let me ask you a question. Let me blow your mind real quick. Obi-Wan.
Do you mean Ben Kenobi?
Yeah, I do. He says to Anakin, "You are my brother." What is And then he says something else. What is the one thing a Jedi can never do? What are they forbidden?
Love.
I love Jabba.
Yeah. Well, they're allowed to love. Anakin talks about it. Anakin talks about it in Attack of the Clones. He says basically that they're allowed to love. To love is the nature of the Jedi. You're supposed to love everything. It's attachment you're not allowed to have. So having a wife where you are binded to someone is a no-go.
You got me there, because Obi-Wan detaches himself from Anakin. Obi-Wan literally
detaches a couple things from Anakin. He detaches his eyebrows right off. Little do we know that the Mustafar lava does not burn off his eyebrows. Obi-Wan was so precise, he buzzed them right off. No, you can't get past me. I just watched the prequels. Terrible glory.
Why does Anakin decide to move to Mustafar? Is he like, there's a lot of real estate here?
Yeah, he's fucking beachside property. It's something to do with...
He hates sand.
Yeah, he hates sand, and there's no sand on Mustafar. It's something to do with, A, it's like strong in the dark side there, but also it's like where he was defeated, so it's like a constant source of hate and anger. And that feeds him. I'm pretty sure that's what I've read. I think they go into more detail. There is a Darth Vader comic, which I started reading that, and that was really good. There's a lot of great moments in that. There's like a scene where he's like surrounded by hundreds of rebels, and he just slaughters them all. He's like, they're like, you're surrounded. He's like, I'm only surrounded by dead men. I'm like, fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he's pretty badass.
He just chokes all 100 of them.
Probably could. Probably could. He does like a Force Unleashed thing to him, pulls a Star Destroyer out of the air. I don't remember where. Why did Anakin choose to build on Mustafar? Yeah, the like constant source of hate and anger.
That's good.
We've been talking about Star Wars for a lot, and usually this is what happened when we talked about Phantom Menace. We focused more on the prequels and what made them bad.
We just talk Star Wars in general.
Yeah, just Star Wars in general and why we like this film in particular. But let's take this movie to the factory if you're ready. You ready for that?
I'm born ready.
So today we're going to be submitting Star Wars to the factory, A New Hope. This is where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would star in it? So... originally, I'm sorry, I'm about to throw you for a loop, but I decided to do this as you sat down. We did it last time. I checked Phantom Menace. We didn't replace John Williams last time. Whoa. We left him intact. So I can't replace old Johnny Baby. Can't replace old Mufasa. So we got to stick with director, Obi-Wan, Luke, Leia, Han, Tarkin. Tarkin replaces the replacement. Tarkin is our additional because we're not doing composer.
Okay.
So for our director...
Before we dive in, can you look up in your little booklet there, Phantom Menace?
Yes.
And who I picked for director? Because I don't want to accidentally pick the same director.
Who did you have originally?
So I'm going to... I want to go with Matthew Vaughn.
We picked Spielberg unanimously.
Did we?
Yes.
The fuck were we on?
I think I said he was George Lucas's friend, and I thought he'd do a good job.
Okay. I thought I'd pick JJ. No, I wouldn't have done
that. He already did it.
Yeah.
Give him a shot. He already made this movie. It's called The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Now, I'm going with Matthew Vaughn. Matthew Vaughn has directed Kick-Ass and X-Men First Class and Kingsman and Layer Cake. Have you seen Layer Cake? It's pretty badass.
I haven't seen like any of those movies.
Stardust.
Nope.
He already did Stardust. Why not the Star War? I love a lot of his films. Entertained by many of them. I would just like to see him tackle like a sci-fi picture of this magnitude. He has done X-Men in the past. And he's done Stardust, a fantasy film. And Star Wars is a bit of both. And I just love his directing style. And... yeah, I'd love to see him direct some of these action scenes and give a little more life to that lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader.
Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, your father, my son. So Matthew Vaughn is who you went with. I decided to go with a director that I think would be able to do this film well, do it justice. He has directed a sci-fi masterpiece that I recently watched and enjoyed thoroughly, and that's Luc Besson. You familiar with Luc Besson? He's a French filmmaker.
You crazy son of a bitch.
He's a French film director, but he made a little film that you might know called The Fifth Element.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He's the director of The Fifth Element.
Has he directed anything else?
Yeah, he's directed a couple things. He's also written a lot of movies. So Luc Besson wrote the screenplay, or helped to write the screenplay of Fifth Element. He also was the writer on a movie called Leon the Professional. He was director of, or writer of the movie Lucy. He did that movie Anna. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Yeah.
He helped to write the Taken TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Valerian he directed, or was a producer on Valerian as well.
I believe it's pronounced Luc Besson.
Besson, yes. You call this coffee? yeah, he directed Valerian, which I kind of want to see, even though people say it's bad.
Yeah, it looks like butt, but I kind of want to see it too.
Yeah. Arthur and the Invisibles. Do you remember that movie?
Jesus.
Yeah. He directed The Fifth Element. He directed Leon the Professional as well. I said he just talked about it. But yeah, he's directed, you know, just that, Leon the Professional and The Fifth Element. Like, those right there. And a lot of people said Valerian was a lot like Star Wars in a sense, a very sci-fi, action-packed. So yeah, Luc Besson, I went with here because, watch The Fifth Element. When's the last time you watched that movie?
Late last year.
So it's got the practical effects in it. It's got good action. It's, it creates a great world. And it's got good music. It's got great acting. I think he made the closest thing to a Star Wars movie without it being a Star Wars movie, right? Like, even the opening scene, well, not the opening scene, but when Bruce Willis is, like, doing his taxi driving and helps, is it Lilo? Not Lilo.
Lilu.
Helping her escape. It's like, we're on fucking Coruscant. Like,
bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah. So Luc Besson was my pick.
Okay.
It's a good pick.
Something to be said about a European filmmaker and just the natural style that comes with that, too.
Yeah, and we've never used either of these, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
So heads, we'll go with Luc Besson. Tails, we'll go with Matthew Vaughn. Vince Vaughn. Heads, Luc Besson.
Besson.
Alrighty, so...
Luc Besson.
Next up, let's go with characters in order of how they die. So we'll go Obi-Wan first.
shit.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. With his mustache.
Luke, come with
stomping
me.
In.
Yes. Luke. Yes. Matthew.
Who do you got? This old McConaughey. Old Ben Kenobi. No, you don't.
Ewan McGregor.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes. I haven't cast him yet. I don't think we... Oh, yeah, we have.
Oh, yeah. We casted him...
recently.
A week ago, I feel like.
About a week ago.
I feel like we casted him recently. Where are you?
Here.
Michael Caine as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'm 59 years old, you see.
I met a man in Burma. We cast Ewan McGregor as Peter Pan in Hook.
Really?
Yeah. Over Joaquin Phoenix, so go fuck yourself.
Okay.
I mean, we come from a world where we cast Daniel Bryan to play Yeah Yeah, so... Just saying.
Yes, yes, you mean.
Like, Obi-Wan played by Ken Watanabe.
Now
I'm just in a constant loop of looking back through these.
Yeah, who's your Ben?
So... For my Obi-Wan Kenobi, the issue that I had here, because I had a handful, I kept going older and older, because I want an old British actor, and the one...
I mean, Alec Guinness was in his mid-late 60s.
Yeah, and that was, like, the issue, because I was like, I want to do, like, I made the joke that I was like, let's go with Patrick Stewart or like Ian McKellen. But like they're too old for this role. Even then it'd be like way too unbelievable. So ultimately I settled with another English actor who I honestly haven't seen in much. I know you have, and you'll probably like this pick. It might be a little off the rails, but even Alec Guinness, now looking back, it's like he was a little too old for that role, right? Technically. But he's an Oscar winner, damn it. And I went with Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. Say it would have been good if we had Matthew Vaughn.
Helped Eggsy.
That's right.
Colin Firth, yeah. King's Speech. I haven't seen Kingsman, so you want to talk on
really?
Kingsman?
Really? I haven't seen Kingsman's a great action movie. Colin Firth. One of those roles where you don't expect him to be like an action star, and he pulls out that side of him. Good stuff. Colin Firth.
He's gonna be in the new one, right? Or is it a younger him?
It's a younger him.
Younger him and Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes
is the older one.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he was in The King's Speech, where he played the King of England, and he's in Mamma Mia.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
All right.
Yes.
Indeed.
I guess it's time for me to say mine.
Yes, it is.
I'm sticking British. A little older. Not that old. Timothy Dalton. James Bond.
You even motherfucker.
He's a slasher of prices. Yes.
He has to be stopped.
He's most famously known for playing Mr. Prickle Pants in the Toy Story films. He's James Bond. He's Simon Skinner in Hot Fuzz, damn it.
He has to be stopped.
Yeah, he's in, what's that movie? Hold on. Flash Gordon.
Flash!
Yeah. And he's the villain in The Rocketeer. So he's no stranger to violence.
And
war. But guess who's more elegant and who's more what's the word? Who's more? Who do you see teaching a boy how to swing a lightsaber around more? James Bond or Pierce Brosnan, the King of England?
He'd be like, yes.
Use the Force.
He gets slashed in half by Darth Vader and disappears, and you just hear no.
Thanks for the kiss of life.
Heads, Colin Firth. Tails, Timothy Dalt T.
Timothy Dalt.
Jimmy Stewart playing Obi-Wan. Luke, you gotta come with me to Indiana. That's the only way we can save the princess. Never mind you that there's no princess in Indiana.
It's Indiana.
No, it's me. But I'm
playing all the roles in this movie.
Yeah, me and John Wayne. We're gonna go across the country.
John Wayne would play Darth Vader.
Oh God,
that's who he'd play. I want them taken alive,
Pilgrim. Heads, Colin Firth. Tails, Timothy Dalton.
Find your lack of steak disturbing.
Heads.
Jesus
Colin
Christ.
Colin Firth, you're getting your tit beat in. Alrighty. Governor Tarkin. Grand Moff Tarkin himself.
I thought you said we go with who dies last.
No, order of how they die. Obi-Wan dies first. So Tarkin.
Yeah, I guess you're right. What if Jimmy Stewart played Tarkin? I can see that.
Anyway, fire when ready.
He was alive when they made this movie.
Hey, listen here. Princess, you're gonna watch. You're gonna watch this out the window,
the big window.
Yeah,
you see all those people in Alderaan. They're gonna die.
Yeah, yeah,
it's gonna happen.
And you're gonna watch out the window. Why are you turning around? The rear window got nothing. Tie her up with some rope.
We've been making Jimmy Stewart jokes for over a year.
Make sure she doesn't get that vertigo looking down that planet. And for God's sake, someone tell me who shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Well, I got to go to Washington.
With my
bunny.
With my bunny. Never mind where he is. Don't worry about it.
All right. Tarkin. Oh, you got.
I'm going with David Tennant.
David Spade.
That would be the worst casting of all time.
They blow up the star and be like, ah! I didn't know that was going to happen.
Oh, my God. David Tennant. Are you familiar with David Tennant?
Yeah, isn't he going to be in the new one?
No.
David Tennant, wait.
He is a doctor.
He's a doctor. He's the newest one, though. Nah. Not the female doctor. The one before the female doctor.
Ooh.
He has shorter hair. Gray. Shorter. Yes.
Hello, father.
Yeah.
Nah! Yeah. He's Monty Crouch Jr.
Nah!
Yes. He's in that show Good Omens recently.
Yeah, with Bilbo. Or Frodo. Bilbo.
I don't think either.
Martin Freeman's in it.
Is he?
Yeah, I think. Maybe.
I know not Michael Shannon. What's his name? Michael Sheen. Francis McDormand. McDermott. No. You're a fucking liar.
All right, whatever.
But yeah. David Tennant. Doctor Who himself. Monty Crouch Jr. himself.
So, for mine...
He's a little younger,
He's a little younger than mine. I went with an 81-year-old.
Sorry, Ian McKellen.
Yes! No, if I could, and he was still alive, I would have cast Christopher Lee to play Tarkin, because that would have been fucking great, right?
Fire when ready.
Yes. Christopher Lee. No, princess. It's a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
But no, I went with Sir Anthony Hopkins. Providing that... think about that. Tarkin, he has a very, chilling, kind of tone to him. Reading the book, Tarkin, you find that, he even says it in this. He's like, fear will be how we will organize the governments and keep the planets in balance. That was, his idea, rule by fear. So Tarkin has this, kind of edge and ominous nature about him. Just that I just couldn't escape, Hannibal style. Hannibal Lecter levels of intimidation, with Tarkin, though. Anthony Hopkins. It's not, a demanding role in terms of physicality.
Yeah.
He stands there with his hands behind his back most of the time.
He's not in it too much, but his
Peter Cushing.
He's just very memorable as
it's like Boba. A lot of Star Wars characters: Boba Fett, Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks is in the first one a lot,
and then he's in none of the others.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But yeah, I was just thinking Anthony Hopkins, hello, Carlys, but
hello, Princess Leia.
Yes. I think he fits that part.
Princess Leia.
Yeah, I think he fits that part better.
That's my David Tennant.
I think he fits it better than David Tennant, though. I think he just fits that role better.
The order is on the way, Tom.
You need to see Jessica Jones, because he's David Tennant's villain, Jessica Jones. He's pretty creepy.
Does he have gray hair?
Nah.
Well, then he's not old enough. He's too young!
You're saying they can de-age, but they can't up-age?
No, they can do that. It's been done.
This is just the beginning.
All right. Well, though, heads, Anthony Hopkins. Tails, David Tennant.
I'll win one of these.
You won that one.
All right.
David Tennant as Tarkin, Governor Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin. So, next up, we got Luke, Leia, and Han. Han technically dies first out of that trio. So, our Han, Han's Olo.
Let's see here. How about my boy? I haven't reached out to him in a while, but Taron Egerton.
I thought you might say something.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick young. I was trying to make a Matthew Vaughn movie a little bit, and you were trying. You did. Colin Firth is our Obi-Wan, so he got. Well, I guess he's not gonna be my Luke Skywalker, but Taron Egerton from Kingsman fame, from Rocket Man fame, where he played Elton John recently. He's got the acting chops. He's got the toughness chops. The man's played Robin Hood, damn it. I'm once again, I'm going with a younger group of heroes here.
Younger group of heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're gonna die. That's what's gonna happen.
Jimmy Stewart is Han Solo, and Harvey the Bunny is Chewbacca.
Yeah. So for my pick for Han Solo, I wanted to go with an actor who's actually, I looked for inspiration. I looked towards actors that were in the running for young Solo, but didn't get it. And I looked at their line of work and movies they've been in. And I don't necessarily like this actor, but I remember when it was all coming out, who was going to play Solo. I remember seeing him and then seeing some of the movies that he was in and thinking, you know, he's a pretty good actor. He does well.
Yes, you go.
In the movies I've seen now. I'm going with Ansel Elgort.
Elgort, yeah.
Baby Driver. I've seen him in Fault in Our Stars. Seen him in the new Carrie. I've seen him in Divergent. And those movies, sadly.
I wanted him to be Han Solo more than... who'd we get? What's the name?
Alden Ulrich. Yeah. Ulrich.
Yeah. I can't remember these names. Damn.
Yeah. He's just in The Goldfinch, which is a huge bomb, sadly. And I say sadly because apparently it's supposed to be really good, but it's not what people want. And the studio's blaming Marvel because that's the fun thing to do right now because it's making people stupid, I guess, is what they're saying. Like, no one wants to spend $12 on a movie that's kind of boring. I wonder why.
I went and saw The Lighthouse, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. But you're a film buff. So, yeah, I went with... Ansel Elgort. I haven't seen Baby Driver, but I've heard he's fantastic in it.
It's great.
I wanted
him to play Han Solo when I heard he was in the running for the role.
Now he's 25, so kind of fits where Han Solo is supposed to be age range. He's supposed to be a little closer to 30, if not 30s. I don't know his specific age, but yeah, I think he'd do a good job as Han Solo.
All right.
So heads, we go Ansel. Tails, we go Taron. Taron Egerton. So, next here. Up, we got, technically in terms of canon, we have Luke.
Luke.
Lukey baby girl.
Lukey baby. It's kind of, I feel like this might be the obvious answer. We might even have the same one. But
Finn Wolfhard.
Nah, Hom Tolland. Hom Tolland.
Doing his American accent? Oh, he's British. His British accent.
Yeah, he'd be British in this movie. He'd be like, I was going to go to Toshi Station, pick up some power converters.
I'd be like, why are you talking like that?
And take that ridiculous thing off.
I thought I'd do a British accent for this movie, even though it's my natural accent.
Spider-Man himself. He's going to be in a new Russo Brothers movie that our sister-in-law is going to be an extra in. Did you know this? Little side note. Yeah, no, nothing crazy. I think she's in the background. But
she touched Tom?
She parked in the driveway, and he pulled up right next to her. News as of yesterday.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. I would have touched Tom. Yeah, poked him in his hair.
I would have fought him.
Like, you're not as good as Toby!
Come on, Spider-Man. Come on, Peter!
He walked up and be like, whoa, man. Whoa. I do my own stunts.
And he beat the shit out of me. Because he actually is Spider-Man.
He does all his own stunts.
And in my world, he's Luke Skywalker, so he force throws me.
He kicks your ass.
He throws a force pebble and knocks me out.
And you're dead right there.
Yep.
That's actually who I had to play him as well.
I figured.
I feel like we just used him in something, though.
We use him all the time.
No, it's not true.
I don't know if he won. We tried to use him as Anakin last year.
Did I?
Remember?
Yeah, because my argument is always, for those of you who might not know, my argument is always that Phantom Menace would not be as bad or as panned if Anakin was older, if Anakin was the same age as Padme, if he was 14 in Phantom Menace. I feel like they could have planted the seeds of romance a little better there, as well as... like, really sold home the fact that he's too old to be trained. That would have been a little better, in my opinion. You went with Jacob Tremblay to play Anakin. But why am I on First Blood? Jesus. Flip back and just saw Rambo. Like, Tom Holland was my pick as well. I think he'd be a good Luke. He fits the part. He's 20...
He's early
23,
20s.
I think. 20. Yeah. 23.
Probably the same age as Mark Hamill was.
Yeah. So I think he'd He'd do well in that role. Last but not least, we have Leia. Leia. Zendaya?
My favorite princess.
How old was Carrie Fisher when she filmed this?
Ooh, I couldn't tell you. You look that up while I tell you who I'm picking. Because who I'm picking is going to be a nice homage. And I'm going with Billie Lourd. The daughter.
She has the acting chops.
Yeah. I mean, she's in Booksmart. She's been in the Star Wars movies in a smaller role. But she has a pretty big role in the latest season of American Horror Story.
Okay.
Where she kind of plays the, I guess, not to be harsh, it's a 80s slasher spoof season, where she plays like the slutty friend.
Okay.
So she shows a different side of her acting there. But you know what? I mean, Carrie Fisher, she was young and kind of not unexperienced, but
she was 19.
Holy balls.
Yeah, she was 19.
Yeah. Billie Lourd is 26, I believe. Hmm. So. She was 19.
She was 19 in 1977. Sorry.
It made good.
Yeah. She's 19. Here. Sorry. Yeah. She was 19.
Okay. Well, I'm going Billie Lourd, her daughter.
So I went with one that we've used before. And I mean, you'll agree to an extent, I'm sure. And I did it based on not only looks, acting chops, and things of that nature, but I went with Millie Bobby Brown. We've used her before, but I look at this picture. Look at it.
That's legit.
Look at it.
That's legit. I want
you look at it.
They look the same.
Yeah, they look the same. They honestly look the same. Look, type in on your Googles, not while you're driving, Millie Bobby Brown, Star Wars, and there will be tons of comparison shots of Carrie Fisher to Millie Bobby Brown, and they look very similar. There's even ones of Millie Bobby Brown, like, photoshopped with, like, Leia hair, and it looks identical. So, have to go with old MBB.
She's too young.
She's 15, and by the time this movie would be made, she'd be 16, so she'd be 3 years younger. 1 year younger than the age she's supposed to be playing.
Hey. Carrie Fisher was...
You're like, hey, you're right.
Carrie Fisher was 21 when Star Wars came out. She was born in 1956. Math!
Fuck. Anyways, yeah, Millie Bobby Brown. She right. technically is the age of the part.
Really?
Basically. Well, really? She's 15. 16, so she's 15. She'd be 16, and she's 16 in February according to Wiki. So she'd be 16 by the time this movie's coming out. And
yeah,
so,
she must be like 17.
Yeah.
And she's she's a better actress, probably, definitely, than old Bill Lourd.
Yeah, so. And she gets to do the scream thing. So. Heads, Millie Bobby Brown. Tails, Billie Lourd.
Oh, Bill.
Tails, Billie Lourd.
Oh, Bill.
You came around. Came around. Mine was better, but it's whatever. So Star Wars New Hope, directed by Luc Besson. Obi-Wan played by Colin Firth. Tarkin played by David Tennant. Han played by Taron Egerton. Leia played by Billie Lourd. And Luke played by Tom Holland. Indeed, it is a Sony-produced film. So that Disney is the factory. Do you have a question before we part ways?
If you had a Death Star and it got destroyed, would you immediately make a second one?
It was already being built.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I never really thought of that.
I'm pretty sure it was already being built.
Yeah, it would have to.
So, yeah. I'm pretty sure, it would have probably already been being built, he dissolved the Senate, and the whole purpose of dissolving the Senate was that he was going to control with fear, with the battle station. No one would stand against them. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Leia says it, like, you know, the more you tighten your grip, the more people will slip through your fingers, because the more people will get angry and join the rebellion. But with them having this control, no one would dare stand against them. basically was the thought process. So by destroying it, it's like that's their form of government at this point, like authoritarian. So they would have to basically find a way to keep everyone in check.
Who is a greater military tactician, if that's the correct word, Tarkin or Thrawn?
Thrawn was a Grand Admiral. For those of you who don't know and haven't like watched Star Wars Rebels,
who aren't as big of a fan,
yeah, haven't watched Star Wars Rebels or read the Tarkin book or Tarkin Alliances, and they're making a third one. Thrawn Alliances, and then Thrawn. Or you maybe you're familiar with the original, it was a trilogy. I think it was Dark Empire is what it's called. It's old expanded universe that had Tarkin in it. He's a chess, like you've probably seen him before, dark blue hair, blue face, red eyes.
See it all the time.
Not used in any of the movies, but he's one of the main antagonists in Star Wars Rebels, the later seasons. But he was a Grand Admiral, and he was the only one, I believe, in the Empire. And Tarkin was Grand Moff. So he was, like, above everyone else. So they were kind of, like, heads of their respective sides. They very much agreed with each other, but also didn't bump heads, but saw each other as kind of threats, in a sense. They respected each other as well. Tarkin's whole being with the Empire was a strategy to prevent them from pursuing his people, basically. Like, he joined them to avoid them coming at him, like to prepare, basically, in case. So I would say, ultimately, he was the better tactician. He would have seen that coming from a mile away. But he is somewhere in the ether that is the unknown region.
Somewhere far away where they can't find us.
Pretty much. Him and
Luke. Ezra.
Ezra.
I know some shit.
Light speed.
I know some of these words.
They go light speed and into the unknown regions, never to be seen again. But yeah, so that about wraps her up. That was the show. Hope you enjoyed our little Star Wars chat here. It was fun. I always like to sit down and talk about Star Wars, especially getting down to the wire here, leading up to Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. But for now, until next week, I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, Gus. And until next week, brothers.
Where can they find us?
Oh, shit.
You almost lost.
I'm trying to get out of here. almost lost viewers. No. Before we go, if you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audioboom. That's our primary site that we post our podcast to. And then they ship it out to things like Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Wherever you find your podcasts, we're there. So just check us out there. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting tweets on what we're watching this week, as well as clips from the show, memes Gus makes, retweeting a lot of great podcasts. Be sure to check that out. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You find The Brothers Movie Factory. If you type it in the search bar there, click on it, like us, follow us, share us. I post memes every week of what we're watching and links to what Ben mentioned, Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So, until next week.
Now it's time.
Brothers. Brothers.
You're my brother, Anakin.
Force will be with you.
Always.